The series is called Near and Far. And it's based roughly on Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus' last words before he ascended into heaven after the resurrection, he said, I want you to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and as far out in the earth as you can go. And that's the context for that. Their Jerusalem was kind of where they were. That was their hometown. It'd be like, think of our Kokomo, okay? So be a witness in Kokomo. He said also Judea, and that was the bigger area that their Jerusalem was located in. So think of Indiana for us. That would be, and those folks were still like them, and still folks they had a burden for it. Go be witnesses there. And then he said Samaria. Samaria was another area apart from the Judea boundaries. It was an area that contained some folks that were related, family, but they were different, and they kind of did some different stuff, and the Jews weren't sure they liked them so much. Matter of fact, some folks wouldn't drive through it. They pass through it. They'd go around it to not be there. So for us, the context would be, think of Kentucky. Okay. And then the uttermost, as far out in the earth as you can go, go be a witness there. And that's what Brent preached to us 2 weeks ago. Be a witness. Jesus didn't stay on earth, establish a Twitter account, and just start posting out tweets to tell people about him. No, he left and left the job of witness to us. We're to be a witness here and far. We're also, Pastor Chris preached last week, that we're to put our love into action, that love equals action. You don't just say, well, I love somebody and say it. No, you show it in action. And then this week, we're going to talk about serving. Serving with everything you've got. Serving him with everything you've got, no matter where you are. And I thought about this on the way, as somebody watched somebody come in on the way, and I'm going to maybe embarrass, don't mean to. But this church, we're having the missions conference in a few weeks. We've got folks that serve people in other countries. And I look back here, and I see somebody that's represented this church, served him in India for a number of years, Beth Waterman. It is good to have you with us today. You've been a faithful servant of God. Thank you. Okay. So with that in mind, serving wherever you got, I want to introduce you to a couple of folks you may not know, a ministry that is near. It's called Bridges Outreach. And we partner with Bridges Outreach to do some things with kids in this city. They are serving him with everything they've got to meet the needs of those kids. Pastor Chris sat down and talked to him some about it. We're going to listen in on the conversation on the screens right now. Take a look.
I'm joined here today with some friends of ours from Bridges Outreach, Travis Taflinger and Casey Klein. And this is one of the many ministries of the 30 plus ministries that we support here at Crossroads on a monthly basis. And Bridges Outreach does some incredible things to students in our community. And I think it's a great opportunity for us to know a little bit more of how they serve our community. So, fellas, let us know, how did Bridges come about, and what are some of the great things that you guys are doing?
Well, Casey and I have been friends for going on 38 years. Our moms graduated high school together, and we got baby pictures together. We grew up in Kokomo together. So we started as an after-school program. We eventually started growing into more and more schools, picked up a mentoring program. And now we have three middle school programs, a high school after-school program, a summer program, and then a mentoring program that works in all of the schools in Howard County. And we serve around 700 kids, trying to bridge them to Christ in the local church.
Yeah, so we've really been fortunate to partner with pretty much every school corporation in the county. But our high school program is at Kokomo High School. And then our middle school programs, we've partnered with Kokomo Schools as well. So Bonaire Middle School, Central Middle School, and Maple Crest. Mentoring program is all through community volunteers. It's an elementary age program where we would then train you and partner you with whatever school you prefer to do. And then that school would then pair you with an elementary student. And once a week, you would meet with that kid at the school during the school day. We have about 230 volunteers who are mentoring weekly in the schools.
Explain a little bit of what an after-school program is.
We really try to help the kids holistically. So we want them to not just learn about Christ and improve spiritually, but we also want to help them academically, emotionally, and socially. Every day is different, and yet every day there's a lot of routine and a lot of sameness too, because kids, especially middle school, they need some structure and they need some routine. So when kids come in, they've been cooped up in school all day. So when they get to us, they really need to just kind of get a breath of fresh air. So we let them be kids. We let them relax. We have a snack. Then we'll have a life lesson where we can talk about a wide range of topics or character or something going on that week. Then we'll play a game. We'll do homework. And then we end with free time. And that makes up most of our days. And then if kids have good attendance and good behavior, we go on a field trip every week. And those range from community service to enrichment trips to really, really fun trips, and then also Christian retreats and concerts and things like that. So we're always trying to give them opportunities that we had growing up, and we want to make sure that every kid in Kokomo has the same opportunities.
Explain a little bit of what's been going on with Max and our what we're doing with middle school ministry.
I don't know that we've seen anyone connect and serve Bridges the way that Max and Crossroads did. Max was trying to figure out, man, how do we connect Bridges students with what we have going on out here at Ignited? So he came and checked Bridges out, and we met a couple times to talk about it. And I said, Max, it's going to take a lot of work on your end to make it happen. And he said, well, tell me what you think it will take. A big deal is transportation. Our kids will have a difficult time, a lot of them, getting out to where you are at Crossroads. So sure enough, he said, all right, let me see what we can do. And so for a majority of this school year, Max, the Crossroads middle school team, had two buses running. They would swing by our middle schools after we were done Thursday nights, pick our kids up, bring them out to Crossroads for Ignite. Our kids would have a blast. They would hear about Jesus. They would worship. They would have food. And then the bus would bring them back to school for pickup at about 8:15 when everything was done. I think there were weeks where it was over 60 kids.
Wow.
That the buses were picking up and then bringing back. And not only did they have bus drivers, but then they had volunteers to work on the bus, kind of supervising it. And our kids just had a blast and had a great time. And I told Max, it increased, I think, our attendance at the middle schools on Thursdays, because going to Ignite became such an important priority for kids. It just really was an awesome partnership. Max and the team, and it really was a team effort, really stepped up and made it happen.
What would be your greatest need to date?
The biggest thing we need is just people to jump alongside us with their gifts and their talents. Mentoring is for some people, it's a big step, but it's also a fairly easy step that really is showing that it changes people's lives. In the 60s and 70s, the average kid had six or seven caring adults in their life, and now that number's down to one or two, usually a single parent and a teacher. And the teacher changes every year. And the great thing about our mentoring is, even if your student changes schools in Howard County, you can stay with them. And it might not sound like much to be there 30 minutes, but just for a kid to have an adult that loves them and cares about them and checks in on them and listens to them is really, really big. And they get their undivided attention. And it's pretty simple. You pick your school, you pick your time, and we can just plug you right in to a school here in Howard County. So whether it's through our website, whether you look it up and give us a call, you can email me at travis@bridgesoutreach.com. Any of those ways, and I'll get you on the schedule. We'll start some trainings in July and August, and you could get going in September.
Awesome. Well, we appreciate you guys and the ministry that you're doing. I mean, it's amazing. 700 kids in our community have a connection because of the ministry that you guys are doing, and I think that's an awesome thing. So thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Tremendous partnership, tremendous partner, and you heard it plainly. I mean, every organization, they need funds and supplies, but you say, what's the greatest need? Folks to just step up, spend 30 minutes with a kid. And we're going to talk more about that here in a minute. You heard what they had to say. Let's look at what God has to say in 1 Peter chapter 4, in some of Peter's most clear instructions he's ever given. We're going to look at two verses here, unpack it a little bit, and then work at application here towards the end of the message. So it says this, 1 Peter chapter 4, God has given each of you a gift. I'll stop before I go on with the sentence. Sometimes you read something in the Bible and say, I'm not sure what that means. So I did some digging. I've had 2 years of Greek. I consulted with the commentaries. I read the references. I went back to the basics. I'm going to translate this for you on what it was originally when Peter wrote it. This is what it said. God has given each of you a gift. Okay? And the reason I emphasize that to you is some of you are sitting here right now, some of you online right now are saying, no, not me. God says he gave you a gift. I don't know. I can't come up with a gift. No, you don't come up with it. God gave it to you. Where'd it come from? Read on. From his great variety of spiritual gifts. Well, I can't do this. Like, no, he has a variety of gifts. He gives this one, this one, this one. And Brent said it. Your gift is unique to you. It's different than somebody else. It's established. Stop debating whether you have a gift. God says, I gave you one. So what do I do with it? Use them. Use what God gave you. Use it well. Don't go at it half-hearted. Don't give it just a small effort. Use it well to do what? To serve one another. So let me give you a couple examples. Do you have the gift of speaking? And some of you do. Some of you know what it's like to stand in front of a group this size or smaller and speak. He says, then do this. Speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Wow. How about this? Most of us fit in this category. Do you have the gift of helping others? Well, yeah, I think I could be of some help. Then do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. And if you do that, if you take your gift and use it well, then everything you do, anything you do in using that gift, anything you do in helping somebody else, will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. Okay, for those of you who like to fill in blanks, we've got a few early on here in the notes, and then we're going to crank this more to application. So the first blank that you fill in is this. You have a gift. You have a gift. If somebody hadn't gotten sick right now, they'd be telling you to turn to your neighbor. And they'd be telling you to tell them, you have a gift. You have a gift. Each one of you has a gift. It's something God gave you. You have a gift. And I have to keep saying that because somewhere in my heart, I realize that you're some of you are right now saying, I don't think I can't do anything. I'm not like other. Nope, you're unique. You have a gift. God gave you. No exceptions. And then he goes ahead and says, there's a couple of examples I'll talk about. One is this, speaking. Number one, speaking on behalf of God. Speaking on behalf of God. Somebody asked me before the 9 o'clock service. They said, hey, I heard you just had a short notice yesterday before you went to speak. And, you know, you didn't. And I said, yeah, not too long. They said, were you nervous? And it wasn't a context to explain, but I'll tell you what makes me most nervous when I stand up here to speak. You know what my responsibility is? To say exactly what God would say if he were wearing the microphone. God is choosing not to appear here. But when I have a gift of speaking and an opportunity to use that gift, then I'm to represent God. The 3 weeks of this series so far, I've had 3 different speakers. There'll be a 4th one on Father's Day, different than the first 3. Guess what? Each one of us have the same responsibility. Speak on behalf of God. And then number 2, serving with a love and passion that only comes from God, with a love for people and a passion to serve and to do it in a way, because here's what's true. It's the word, by the way, serving there. It's the word for ministering. It's kind of the church context. And the speaking's kind of the church context, even though you get a chance to speak one-on-one with people. Some of you are better than that than others. Some of you serve people way outside the church context. That's okay. It's actually the word for deacon, diacon, that is there. But hear this. Why is he talking about this? Any of you say, you know what, where I work, my goodness, they need God. There's so many people there, and they're so far from God, and boy, it's a tough place. Guess what? Good news. God has somebody where you work to speak and act on his behalf. It's you. You say, my street, my neighborhood, I think I'm the only believer there. Boy, they need, if God could only show up in my neighborhood. Good news. He has. He has you there to speak and act on behalf of him. And on it goes. North Kokomo, where we're going to talk about in a few minutes, down there, you say, my goodness, there's all sorts of stuff going on, and there's sin and addictions and dysfunctional homes and all these things. God needs to show up down there. Good news. He's sending some people down there next weekend, and he's given them gifts so that when they use those gifts, they can speak and act on his behalf. That's God's plan. And we're going to focus next week again on the near part. Now, with that in mind, let's turn a little bit to application. Number 2 point in your notes. My gift is to be used to helping other people. Difference between the church and the world. The world has a gift, a talent, an ability. You know what they use it for? To bring glory to themselves, to bring money to themselves, to bring attention to themselves, to serve themselves, to do for themselves. In the church, God gives you a capacity. You say, use it not to help yourself, but to help others. And that's what next weekend is about. We spend most weekends here, and it's right to do. It's right to gather. Hebrews says it's right to get together. We spend most weekends here talking about the fact that they have needs and we need to go out there to them. On this weekend, we skip this part and we simply go. This is the weekend where instead of us saying, you know what, we should help others, this weekend we take the should part out and we just go help them. You say, I don't know. I'm not so sure it fits for me. Well, let me say this statement to you. Some of you say, you know, really helping others isn't really my thing. Guess what? Serving is an all-skate activity. You can't be young enough or old enough. You can't be rich enough or poor enough. You can't be, some of you say, boy, I wish I had time to help others. There's no exceptions for the busy people. It's not just the slackers and the folks that are bored that are supposed to serve. All of us were given a gift to be used to help others. You say, I'm not so sure there's anything that would fit for me. If you go on the app, you know what you'll find for Serve Together? There's a chance to trim shrubs at one of the local housing projects for the under-resourced where the outside of the building doesn't look as good as it could. Folks walk in and out and the shrubs aren't trimmed. We can go make things better for them as they walk in. There's another set of apartments at Civic Towers where the hallways are dingy and have gotten dirty over time, and they put a coat of bright white paint on one of those halls, and it just brightened up the whole environment on that floor. They've got several floors. We're going to go paint some of those hallways and make it different for folks as they're coming and going from where they live. There's 12 homes with 12 individuals that are to do what I did, to climb up these steps or to go back down these steps in a moment would be hard for them because they're disabled. It's a challenge for them to be able to navigate steps and stairs, and some of their steps and stairs are broken at their homes. We're going to go and put ramps there. We've got folks that know how to design them. We've got folks that know how to get the materials together. We got all we need is hands, and we will go and do that. There are going to be 3 food tents at locations throughout the city where we're going to be serving food and doing ministry from those. We're going to be cleaning up some alleys in this city. We've had this experience as recently as last year where we sent folks down an alley and had them cleaning stuff up, and the people came out of the back door, and it's not knocking the city at all. The city has a job to do, and it's a big job. But we had folks saying, you know what, that junk has been there for months. And I've called, and it's like, we don't matter. We're not important to anybody. You know what's going to happen that weekend? We clean up that alley, and those folks are going to realize everybody matters to God. We've got the chance to go to nursing homes, and some of you that like to converse with people, paint the fingernails of female residents, trim the hair of the male residents, take your kids in to sing to them. We've got a couple of projects where a roof needs, we got one particular project where the lady had to move out of her house when the tornado hit a couple of years ago, and due to a variety of circumstances had never been able to get the roof back on it. This weekend, we're going to make it possible for her to move back into her home. There are 29 parks beyond the 2 that we'll have food tents in this next weekend, and those 29 parks by the end of the weekend are going to be cleaner than they were when we started, because we're going to go in every one of them, pick up trash, hand out bottles of water and freezy pops to the kids that we see, and just tell folks they matter and make our community better. We're going to draw on the sidewalks chalk art and messages to encourage people. We're going to hand out fresh baked loaves of bread in one location. We're going to have prayer walks throughout the city. We're going to have a cheer crew come along to encourage the workers and to bring them cool water and say, come on, you can do it, just one more hour. All those things are going on and more, because everybody's got a role to play. We're going to help others in any way we can. And you say, oh my goodness, that's a big list. And did you get it straight? No services here. No offering bags passed. We're not taking an offering next weekend at this church. And who's going to pay for the lumber and the shingles and the shrubs and who's yeah, I bet you have to rent some equipment to pull off that church service, and how's all that going to be funded? Next point. God will supply the strength and energy to accomplish this. I tell you, this says you go to serve, you serve with what God supplies. You see, the offering we take here is not the source. God's the source. We don't have to take an offering. God can supply in other ways. There's some of you right here in this crowd that you know God could speak to you, and you could take a step to cover any shortfall we might have for next weekend. There's some of you here that say, you know what? I could cover 3 ramps if I just knew how much they were. We can let you know that. God's going to supply the people. Some of you say, I'm just not sure I could walk down a street and pray. And what if somebody came up to me and wanted to talk? God will supply you with the capacity to do that. God will supply. We were having some issues even this last week. We were saying, I don't know, are people getting, our church is going to be signing up? Friday, our offices here are closed. A lot of us aren't here on Fridays. It's kind of the day we encourage folks to take a day before you hit it hard for the weekend and the next part of the week. And on Friday, we had somebody from one of our participating churches walk in. I don't even know this individual, except I've been emailing him with them. And they came in and said, look, I on this app stuff, I wasn't sure I trusted that. So I've just got a list. Our church, and it's a small church, we've got 42 folks that we want to sign up for 4 different projects because we want to be a part of this. And when I heard that news, I thought, God's going to supply. I had contacts this week from both of the local Catholic churches. They've never participated in the past, and they contacted and they said, we're hearing more and more about this. We think we should be a part. In those Catholic churches this weekend, both of them, they've been standing in front of every mass that they've had and urging their people to come out next weekend and serve. God's going to supply. God's going to supply. We had somebody on one project where this person said, I'm not sure what it's going to cost. I've got a burden to see this happen. You let us know what the bills are, and my husband and I will cover them. God's going to supply. He's going to supply because he's given each of us a gift. He's given us the capacities, and he's going to supply the strength and the energy and the resources to get it done. And then notice the next point. God gets all the glory through me being the hands and feet of Jesus. Let me tell you something intentionally that we've done with Serve Together. For one, you may be looking at this and saying, you know what, I don't even think I like red t-shirts. That's okay. I've told the other two services, start your own thing, pick your own color. We picked red. You know, I get it. You say, why can't the Crossroads people wear their shirts and the Nazarene people wear their shirts and the Catholics wear their shirts and the Oak Brook people wear their shirts? And why don't y'all? Because then Crossroads would get their slice of the glory and Nazarene would get their slice of the glory and Fuel would get their slice of the glory. You know why we all wear the same shirts? Because we want the glory to go one single direction. And that's Jesus Christ. Do you realize the people we're serving are rightfully suspicious? Because when the world goes to do something for them, had this story a couple years ago, just still, and I hear it, it just ticks me off as I tell it, to where as we were out working and serving in Cedar Crest, I believe it was, trying to help clean up from the tornado, had a couple of stories to where folks showed up, not wearing red shirts, thankfully, but folks showed up, started working a little bit, say, hey, we'll help clean up for a while, and then write out a bill and hand it to the homeowner and saying, hey, I charge this much, this is what you have to pay me. So folks are suspicious, and rightfully so. So when we show up to serve, you know what they do? Okay, what's your angle? What's your hook? What are you going to try to rope me into? And you know what we do? We simply are the hands and feet of Jesus. We love on him in Jesus' name because he says when you do that, he gets the glory. We don't accept donations. We don't say, well, let's invite them to our church. Let's try. No, you simply serve them and let God get the glory. And I will offer this. Please don't be offended. But if you choose to take your gift and sit out next weekend, there is no promise next weekend that you'll bring any glory to God. That's harsh. But if serving him gives him glory, what makes you think not serving him gives him glory? Say this to you online. I am so glad that you join us online. And some of you, due to circumstances, have to join. But if you can at all next week, that's a time to not be watching a screen. It's a time to come take your gift and serve because that's how you give God glory. And next weekend, Brent mentioned it. As a church, I'm not sure there's any weekend we reflect more glory to God than when we simply go out and serve people. Hear this. We say we want to start a campus 16 weeks from now in North Kokomo. We want to convince people that we care enough about them to come into our church. You know what we can do this weekend? We can go right. We say, you need to come to us and we'll convince you that we care. No, this weekend, we'll go to them. We have projects all over the north part of Kokomo. If you check it out, all over the north part of Kokomo, serving the people we're hoping to reach. Do you not think it'll be more likely they'll come to the YMCA come September? If somebody shows up at their doorway and cares enough about them to minister to their needs in June, I think so. God gave you a gift. What are you going to do with it? Then third point, you end up using your gift with glory and power given to Jesus forever, praise and worship. We have four slots of serving. Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon, Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon. We get to 4 o'clock Sunday afternoon. Last slot is over. And to be honest, those of us that are there all weekend and doing, to be honest, you just, whew, tired, wiped, I get it. You know what we do at 6 o'clock? We gather at Jackrabbit Stadium. with folks from other churches, with worship leaders that prepare and work together for the only time all year where instead of being the Abundant Life folks are doing their worship and the Fuel folks are doing their worship and the Northview Kokomo folks are doing their worship and Crossroads and yeah, and boy, I like their worship. But guess what? We put them all together. We have speakers from a variety of churches. We have other things go on. And for about an hour and a half, we simply give Jesus what's rightfully his, and that's praise. It's in a baseball stadium with beautiful seats. It's aligned to where when you come in the evening, actually you're in the shade, basically, in most of the seats to be there. But hear this. You say, I don't know if I'll go or not. You know how badly God wanted it to happen? This is 3 years in a row. We've selected the weekend for Serve Together. And every time we select it, we say, okay, when's the Jackrabbit schedule come out? Because that's the baseball team that plays at the stadium. And they say, well, it doesn't come out till February. We select this back in the fall. Well, what if they're playing at home that weekend? Well, if they're playing at home, we can't use that stadium for the service. 3 years in a row, their schedules come out. 3 years in a row, they've been away on Serve Together weekend. Now, you may be saying, boy, you're just the luckiest dude that I know. And you'd be wrong. God says, I want it to happen bad enough. I'll make sure the schedule falls right. God has the seats open to us. The only question mark is, are his people who are so blessed, are we going to come and fill them and have a time? It is as close to a heaven worship experience as you can have, because it's just people, and not all of them look like you, and not all of them sound like you, and not all of them worship like you, but we're all together to do one thing: give glory to the one who gave us the gift we've used to serve him. I cannot imagine. Some of you in this room, I will say this, some of you in this room with kids, you want to have an impact on your kids? Bring your kids to that service and help them see that church isn't just about, but it's about thousands together worshiping him. Now, here it is, bottom line. You've got a gift. You online got a gift. Next weekend, you also have a choice. What am I going to do with the gift God gave me for the purpose of helping others? Next weekend, it's as set up for you as it can be. What you do is this. You can pull out, I could pull out my phone, and while I'm talking to you, I could sign up for a project on the mobile app. Some of you that are very comfortable with that could do that. Wait about 5 minutes till I'm done, then you could do it. Or you say, I'm not so comfortable, then you open up your laptop, use your tablet, and pull up the website and go to that. And same list, same way to sign up. If you say, well, I'm still having some problems, walk out those doors, go to the right to the next steps and talk to them. Or if you even have some hassles, you get to Friday and you say, we didn't sign up. It's probably too late. No. Here's where we'll be. Kokomo Rescue Mission Main Food Tent will be the home base for Serve Weekend for this time. It's not going to be at Couts Field. Some of you have been there in the past. It'll be over at the Rescue Mission. Show up. We'll plug you in, set you up, and you can go out and use your gift to help other people. Last thing, and we're going to close. And everybody here, no matter how you serve, no matter what you do, no matter what your choice is, everybody here can do one thing for the next week. Pray. Pray for God to match right people with right positions, with right projects. And then when you go to serve, to put people together in conversations, to where somebody asks you, say, why are you doing this? Well, I'm doing this because Jesus loves you. How do you know that? Because I know he loves me. And you start, pray for that. Pray for the service. Pray for all of that. I just got back last week from going with a group, some of them from this church, to Northern Ireland and serving over there in a ministry. Had an opportunity to do that. It was so cool. But I'm over there 5 time zones away, 4,000 miles, and they had a printout there of folks that had signed up online to pray, and I saw as we were serving, I'd look and I'd say, I know that name. somebody from Crossroads, 4,000 miles away, they're praying right now for us. And it was such a blessing. Hear this. We're going to serve near and represent Jesus near this weekend. Go to the online tool. You can find it on the website or at the Facebook page and sign up and be a person of prayer for this and make it possible for us to bring God glory through the gifts he gave us to serve others. Let me close in prayer. God, right now, not praying for the collective Serve Together weekend, but for each individual here and online. Help them, God, to affirm, to agree with what you've already declared. You gave them a gift. Help them to not deny that. And then once they acknowledge you have a gift, God, don't allow them to escape the question, what am I going to do with it? Next weekend, what am I going to do with my gift? God, I pray that each person here will take their gift and use it to your glory next weekend. So God, we give next weekend to you. We give our individual decisions to you right now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.